Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
To come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You're now joining an audience covering thousands of miles of earth and sea. Welcome to the spinning hellish centrifuge of words and such. It's World Poetry Open Mic. Here we are, not dramatic at all. You know us. We're about as laid back as it gets. My name's Michael. I'm here with the man, the legend, the haiku master, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Yeah.
How are you?
That's everything. Every answer there was kind of a question. I'm kind of questioning if that was really.
Oh, I'm totally not sincere. I'm fine.
you're insincere.
I'm insincere about being questioning. No, I'm good. I'm much better. I'm not at work.
Oh, it was that kind of week, huh?
It's kind of that kind of a week. It was kind of weird.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I guess we all have it though, right?
Oh yeah,
it's kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, and also here at the table. For a second week in a row.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. And that's the name she's going by tonight. No, it's actually, we have Christine here joining us as well. How are you, Christine?
Not too bad. I kind of agree with JT.
It's like you're happy now.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
Time to chill out.
Well, we can kind of just kind of relax here. It's become enough of a tradition where I actually find this relaxing in a lot of ways.
It's your little mantra.
In a way,
poetry,
yeah.
Poetry.
Yeah, but then I get
into
a weird
melody. Oh, good.
Now
I got him starting to sing a song.
Yeah, see, I get in the, well, that happens.
He is a singer.
That's pretty easy to do.
Singer and songwriter.
Yes, I'm a singer and songwriter, incredibly deep. Ladies, please come talk to me and find me attractive. No, I'm kidding. Anyway.
Whoa.
So yeah, the week has been an interesting one.
Yeah.
I've been going kind of full tilt, rehearsing with the Flying W, getting ready for my academic decathlon team to compete tomorrow morning.
That's right.
Really early, and that'll be cool. And then it'll be over, which is even cooler. And
go kids! I want it over with.
Well, yeah, no, I really wish them the best, but man.
Zaps a lot out of you, huh?
Well, you know, yeah, whatever.
Okay.
So, at any rate, this is a new month for World Poetry Open Mic, which means we have a new poetic form, which I will be bringing up later. I will also starting to be teasing with three clues of our March Poet of the Month for this year. And, you know, we also, because of last week, you know, we just come back, I also kind of announced who our poet was. And
yeah.
So if you want to read something by Sir Walter Scott, you are more than welcome to. I know someone did last week.
Yes.
As well. But we'll just leave it open for you. At any rate, should we just get to the poetry? I mean, I feel like I have a lot of stuff to say, but I feel like it's really about the poetry more than that, and things will just come up as we go.
Yeah, that's fine.
So let's just get ready for it. So here are two rules. One. No hate speech. We just don't do it. It's just not something we're going to deal with. And number two, no word porn. So we respect artistically placed You know, words, things that are going to help you convey your point. We try to skew towards PG-13 so kids can listen and their families don't, you know, say, turn that off. Although they might say turn that junk off for other reasons in the language, but, you know, whatever. That's probably my fault in that case. but at any rate, no word porn, but let's be artistic and let's be tasteful. However, we are doing my favorite segment, the thing I live and breathe for, After Dark. The whole reason I wear leather pants over... or under, I should say, all of my other pants every day.
And we will announce a distinctive
Yeah, there'll be a distinct cutoff, so, you know, if you don't want to get your panties in a twist, you can turn it off.
That's right.
All right, so let's go into our first call-in segment. I need five unique callers, 720-240-9766.
Oh, sorry. I missed my cue. I wasn't looking. 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
And now, Deep Thoughts by Michael Amade.
Sometimes I wonder, as I look up into the clouds going across the sky, what would happen if I just slapped everyone that I met for a full 24 hours? Would it be as gratifying as I thought?
That was your deep thought.
And I have to say, I think it would be incredibly gratifying.
Your hand would kill you.
Well,
not because it would actually slap you back, though it might, because...
No. In most cases, I would completely agree with you, and actually probably now because I'm out of practice. Here's the
okay.
thing. With martial arts stuff, because of the amount of sparring and the stuff we were doing,
right.
we actually did hand conditioning drills like crazy to actually have it so they didn't hurt anymore.
So your slapping muscles are weak?
My wrist muscles are a little bit weak right now. They really are, you know? I mean, I haven't been put into use. Just not a... You guys are really dirty.
We Your better get to the really callers before this gets anywhere.
I'm actually not even talking about that. I'm actually being serious. We actually used to train hand and... Yeah, yeah.
I didn't turn my microphone on. I can imagine that would have to be a thing.
It is. It's really
a
thing.
You have to, because
it hurts if you don't. It's bad.
I believe it.
He's doing one of those the wooden dummy things. And he's constantly smacking it.
Well, no, it's not just that. You get buckets of sand, and you actually put your hands and just put your fingers straight in.
Oh, okay.
And then it eventually conditions, and you actually hit it. But it
there's a movie you need to watch.
What's that?
Three Stooges?
No.
I've lived Three Stooges. I remember in middle school getting in a fight and putting my hand out, someone hitting it, and I started doing Three Stooges moves, and I beat him in a fight. I'm not kidding. Yeah, what were you going to say?
The Adventures of Remo Williams.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
It's not as good as the book, but the movie gets the point across.
The movie gets the point across. And if you want to hear more awesome movie reviews from JT, you should check out Radio Angry, a podcast. We haven't updated in a little while.
Which I'm going to have to kick up here because, you know, we're coming into that year again.
I think we should do it. I think it'd be great.
So
anyway, let's get to some poets here. What do you say? Well, actually, you know what? Before I do the thing I always do, which is forget and screw everything up.
Oh, and just real quick, hey Jim, if you're listening, we'll just take you right after Dennis.
Yeah, I would. Just...
So, because I noticed the phone's having an issue keeping you on, so we'll just take you right after Dennis.
Yeah,
okay?
we'll do it live, in the words of Bill O'Reilly.
Cool.
All right, but first of all, I'm going to do a submission, okay? And this submission has come from a really close friend of mine, a really close friend of the show, and the lead singer and kind of a brother in. Ridiculousness. Traven Gray is the lead singer of The Silent Still, and this is called The Oak Tree. I sit here with my mind beholding a beauty in my life unfolding. So gentle the wind does come blowing upon the waters of my shore. It calls to me in silent whispers, but clearly as it paints its pictures, stirring in me wakeful embers impossible to ignore. It causes the light to shine within me, leading paths that lay before me, leading hilltop to an oak tree, a tree that shows my life before. And in that tree, a tiny bird, it sings to me without a word, of a life I wished interred, now lay open to its core. But from that life grows something new, a strength from what I'd gone through, full of songs and visions of you, growing tall above the floor. And it reaches to the sky above, giving life and shade and comfort and love. It shows a life I'd only dreamed of, now coming from the one I adore. So I climbed up to the top to see what treasure might await for me, and I lost myself along the way in the search for something more. And as I panicked, as a limb broke, but found myself as I awoke, safe, secure from the dream baroque, entwined within your arms. And that was a bit clumsily read, but that's from Draven Gray. It's called The Oak Tree. Thank you, Draven. I appreciate you contributing. I apologize for the stumbling there in the read, but I appreciate you contributing. Thank you. And so I really encourage anybody who's going to have the chance, and I know it sounds funny, and but anybody who does have a chance to see the band, The Silent Still, when we come through and we play, I would definitely recommend it. And by the way, if you're listening to the show and you want to come to a Silent Still show when we're playing in your area, which will be probably in the next year or so, let me know. We'll hang out. We'll meet up. We'll hang, you know, I mean, it'll be a great thing. So I would definitely invite you. Or if I'm playing with the Flying W Wranglers, hell, come out then too. You know, it'd be great. We'll hang out. This extends farther than just the show itself. With that being said, Christine, you think we should go to the poets right now?
I think they've waited long enough.
I think they've waited.
Patiently.
Patiently long enough. All right. So we're going to go to, naturally, Michigan to talk to our longest supporter and one of our great friends of the show, Dennis. Dennis, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing wonderful. It's Friday night.
Hey, that's it. It is Friday night.
Yes, and I always look forward to it. You guys make it so special.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And you know, we always really appreciate hearing from you. How was your week? How'd everything go?
My week went very well, and we've had some weather bumps, but you know, it's all good. I know spring's around the corner, so these extra chilly days. I mean, some people get in snow, some people aren't, but you know, it's all good. And maybe it'll kill off a few extra mosquitoes. I don't know. So there's a reason for it, and I'm sure it's a good one, and we'll roll with the punches, and the spring's heading our way.
All right, I like the optimism. So I'm gonna I'll step back. I'm gonna let you read, and then we'll talk afterwards. So the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you very much. Tonight I'm going to read a poem. The title is Land of the Long White Cloud. And he goes like this. Far removed from the boot of the Mediterranean, you kick up your heel full of joy and life. Known for your pristine vistas and raw beauty, you shine above your nearest neighbors. What a breath of fresh air you share in culture and adventures. White clouds dance above you and celebrate your uniqueness. Your peoples are gregarious and kind. The kiwis abound in this paradise. As people, birds, and fruit, your land is a blessing to all. End of poem.
That's a strong piece and a strong read, Dennis. It's just such a great
way to
kick off.
I know once spring breaks, we start thinking of coming out of our caves.
Yeah.
And start looking around, and we think about travels and the different beautiful places in this world. And I was given this prompt, the land of the long white cloud, and I did some research on it. And it led me to a word, the Aotearoa. which is a Maori word from the country of New Zealand. And the literal translation is the land of the long white cloud. And was my springboard to write about this place, though I've never been there. It could be on my bucket list, because you never know. I may want to end up going there someday. Yeah. And I know us poets like to dream about places we've been to, also places we've never been to. And it's a wonderful exercise to share those thoughts with others.
Absolutely. That is great. Well, Dennis, thank you again. It's a great way to kick off the first segment. What do you have to say, Christine?
Why do you always put me on the spot?
Because you're sitting here next to me, kind of looking at me like, when am I going to have my turn to speak? You talk forever.
I wasn't even looking at you.
Christine?
Yes, my dear.
You be assertive and hold your own.
Exactly.
It's a little known fact, but Christine makes one of the best apple pies I've ever eaten. And if you ever go visit them, ask about Christine's apple pie.
Oh, man, now you're putting me on the spot.
We should make a commercial.
Oh, no.
My wife's pies.
No, 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 no. We're not going there.
All right, Dennis. Lord. You know what?
I'm sorry, right. I didn't mean to embarrass you.
You know, she's sitting here smiling modestly. Yes, I agree. I agree it is.
Hey, thanks for letting me read. It's always a pleasure. And thank you so much for all that you do to make this show happen. I know it doesn't do itself. That it takes a lot of thought and work to put it together, and it is appreciated. And I just can't tell you often enough how much you guys are appreciated. And thank you so much.
Hey,
I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up. I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling all the way from the wrist, the non, carpal tunnel, whatever.
It's okay.
You tried.
You gave it a shot.
No, the strengthened wrist.
The strengthened
of Michigan.
Wrist.
Wow.
It's going to be that kind of night, I can already
tell. Boy.
Yep.
Hey, let's go to Jim in the land of hopes and dreams.
Let's see if this will work.
Let's see if it works. Jim.
There we go.
Jim, are you there? Jim. Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, we'll just do this. Ready?
Try it again.
Dun, 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 dun.
Jim, you are live on World Poetry Open Mic. How are you, my friend?
I am awake.
with that intro. How'd everything go? I know you went and had the sleep test. I actually have mine scheduled here in a few weeks.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, they did a spit study on me. First half of the night, they just had me hooked up, you know, just sleeping without any apparatus. And then halfway through, they put the mask on.
Yep.
So I think I maybe got like 4 hours with the mask.
Yeah.
And I actually felt the effects for the next day or two. Actually, most of this week, I might not be as active. I haven't zonked out as much.
Oh, look at that. You got some oxygen.
Especially on Monday. I mean, usually like I would feel sleepy about somewhere between 8 and 10.
Uh-huh.
And I was up almost the entire day. I think I didn't really feel it until 6 o'clock that night, Monday night.
Really?
So it's yesterday, I got a call from the place in Hershey that's I began my machine from. They're putting it, they're doing the whole thing with the insurance company. I should be hearing back from them middle of next week.
Very cool.
To set up an appointment to get the machine.
Awesome. Very happy to hear that, man.
I really can't wait to get this machine and get back to work.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Man, I bet. I bet that's got to be really, you know, it's interesting how sometimes life just really, really wakes us up with something. And Sounds like that's what happened to you. I've had a few of those in my life as well. Man, it's it sounds like it was time for you to get this handled.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now I have to pray for my girlfriend because this will add to my hyperactivity.
Hey, fair enough.
Well, I have already referred to myself as Hyperboy the Gas Molecule.
I don't want to ask about the gas molecule part. Maybe it's all the roughage from the salads. I'm not sure.
Oh, no. I've been that way for years.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's not just the salads. Okay.
I am the human super ball.
I had a dime for every time I've heard someone say that.
You'd have a dime.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I nicknamed myself Mr. Superballs. No, I'm totally kidding. I just made that up. All right, James, I'm gonna give you the floor. I'm gonna sit back. We'll talk after.
Okay. Well, before I start, it's interesting that you mentioned wrist when you were talking about Dennis, because that's the title of this poem. It's the mountains of the blister wrist plains. Remnants of the molten black that came before, rounded rock sentinels, lofty and white, standing stalwart, solid for a day of millennia. Unearthly fingers descend from celestial realms above, laying waste to the mountains upon the blister wrist plains. End of poem.
Very, very nice, Jim. Really, really like that one.
You probably have no idea what I was talking about.
No, I didn't. You want to tell us?
Okay. Well, back in 2009, I was cooking something on the stove, and I had one of those black plastic pancake flippers,
mm-hmm.
pancake turner. And for some reason, I'd been in the pan too long, so part of it started to melt. And it was my wrist. So I took the thing off, and I had a wrist. And of course, me.
You amaze me.
No, me being me, I don't just pop the blisters. I peel the skin off afterwards.
Okay.
If I have a blister, I mean, even if I pop it
off. Wow.
Yeah. So.
Hey, Jim, I just want to let you know your phone started cutting out. I think that's probably what the issue is. We're not really hearing the end of the story, so we'll have you tell the story another time, okay? But
okay.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. I just want to make sure it's getting across and it's just getting lost now. So I want to say thank you. We'll hang up, and then hopefully we'll hear from you in the return engagement.
Hopefully.
All right. I would appreciate it, man. I'm so happy that you're getting on top of all that, and things are going to look up for you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and that was Jim from the land of hopes and soon to be very vivid oxygen-filled dreams.
Or chocolate.
Yes.
Or well.
Well, yeah, there
it's
that
Hershey.
Too. It
yeah,
is Hershey.
I know.
Wow, totally just guys.
Chocolate.
Yeah. We're totally guys. We're like, yeah, chocolate. I don't understand. It doesn't have the same effect on us. That's okay. Now, so wait, am I mistaken? Do we have a new caller, JT?
We have a new caller.
We have a new caller named Jason, all the way from California. First time on the show. Jason, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
All right, you are live on the air. How are you, my friend?
I'm really good. How are you?
Doing very, very well. So my name's Michael.
Oh,
I'm one of the hosts of the show. How'd you hear about us?
It's weird. I just look up open mics on Google all the time.
That's a good way.
You know, like I've done a lot of them down here. I'm in California. You know, I've done a bunch of different cities down here, and awesomely enough, your name came up like when I was Googling them and like, oh, try this one. And I listened to some of your episodes, and I thought it was a really good outlet. You know,
very nice, very very nice. Well, we're glad that you joined us. I'm going to give you the stage. We'll let you kind of lay it out. We'll talk afterwards, okay?
Yeah. Let me know. Go, and then I'll know not to say anything stupid.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm gonna let you just go now, and then I'm going to sit back and be quiet until you say end poem and let us know you're done, okay?
So just start from now.
Yep, there you go. Take it away.
Cool, man. Thank you. Yeah, I'm in California, Victorville, California, so it sucks here. If anybody else knows what I'm talking about, if you've ever been to California, Victorville, California, not a good place to visit. Okay, here's my poem, though. I actually, most of my poems are about life, you know, so that's why, like, I think people like me because it's just, I wrote down stuff, you know, growing up, you know, it's about, they're all about my friend, my brother passed away and my friend moved and, you know, different breakups and, like that. So, and I think it's cool, like, a few of them tell a story. Yes, I listen to, like, every single piece and you kind of learn something new about me. I think poetry kind of does that. Like, a lot of poets are that way, which is really cool, you know. So here's my wasting time. Here's my thing. Are you okay? Are you okay? That seems to be the question of the day. I hear so much, just let me sleep. If only it was what it used to be. And look at these newfound lines on my face with no beginning or end. There's a maturity knowing your place and staying where you belong. But what's so wrong with getting a little bit of what you want? I'm sick of these games we think we're supposed to play because I'm living too slow and we're dying too fast. I guess this all goes to show you have to make life last. You're doing this for all the wrong reasons. You're dying to live, so stop killing yourself. The truth is you're stuck here, my dear. It's 80 years, hard time, no way around it, but the days are either what you make it. I know this to be true because I am the author of this masterpiece. So we'll let you in on a little secret. It's just you that I'm missing. So, I'll tell you a little secret. I like to seem distant, but it's just you that I'm missing. I want to go back to those days in 2008 when we were younger and didn't see it. When we could do anything as long as we could dream it. But life doesn't always work out the way that you want it. You get tired, you get old, and you settle for life that you hate. And you say we all have to grow up someday. But no, I won't. I'll live through the dreams we had back then. It's harder now that you're not around. Together but separate, we'll make tomorrow, and we'll meet up when the sun goes down. It's like I'm older than everyone else. Because of what I've seen, I've learned to say what I mean. So give me a reason to let this go. If it was up to you, you'd watch me rot, waste away with my wasted talent, but that's not how I see it. So mic check, let's do the sound check, because life's better with a sound track, and let them fall from their towers as wax, most of fire. I've always been behind, but better late than never. I just can't handle your mess, so we'll start out fresh, and you can't hurt me anymore. So I've had enough of your lies, and I've heard enough of your cries. We all make mistakes in life, at least I've learned from mine. So don't you hold back now. How can we live if we don't give it our all? How can we live if we stay down every time that we fall? Ever since I was a boy, I never knew where my heart lay. I thought I had to save you, but then I realized there wasn't enough to me. I was only 23. No longer would I give you the pleasure of seeing my tears. No longer would I be held down by my fears. I don't need your permission. I don't need you to tell me I'm right, and I don't need you to live my life. It's been so long without support, and I keep on falling short of the person that I want to be. I was running on fumes, and I took comfort in you. It's been so long, I couldn't imagine how I would act. It's been so long, I've been to hell and back. I thought I was right, but all I felt was wrong. I swore the problem was in me if you're following along. If you learn from my mistakes, because I've already made every bad decision that the person I made, the last one was, I had this friend. And then I met this girl, and then I know my friend. And I liked my friend to hang out with a girl. And then the girl left me, and my friend left me. And now I'm standing here talking to you because I got no one to talk to. I like to talk to my friend and tell him that I'm sorry. And I hope he'll be all right. I was learning I wasn't how to win this fight. With all the voices in my head, hurting him is just not worth what I did. So I take my regrets and I throw them away. May the weight of my words be so heavy as to shake the ground that you lay. Yes, it's true. The devil on my shoulder is putting up one hell of a fight with the angel on the other side on the right. The battle is tiring, and I can't do what I need to, and I can barely hear you. They say one day God will come and let me rest. Until that day, I choose to live and to do my best. Thank you for listening, everybody. A quick plug. If you like that, please look me up on facebook.com/fightsongpoetry. Very easy. And that's it for me. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much, Jason. That was awesome, man. Really, really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad we could all do it. I enjoyed it, and I'm glad that you did too, because it's really like therapy. It's me venting about a lot of stuff that I'm unhappy about.
Totally. I get it. And I absolutely get it.
I think people like to hear that they're not alone with whatever they're feeling. Like when I was a kid, I grew up just in front of the television. Like my parents weren't really active. And I felt like I didn't have a lot of friends. I felt very isolated, and I wish somebody, you know, would tell me that it was a lot of people felt that way. I thought I was the only one. And I think people like to hear that, other people feel that way. People like to know that, you know? So that's what I aim to tell people, is that everybody feels the exact same way. Everybody is in the same boat, you know, and we all need, like, there's no reason for us to be separate from anybody else. You know, we should all come together and become a community, and that's what I look for, and that's what I want to be a part of, and I want to just, you know, help that and bring it together.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you, man. Completely.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me, you know, participate, and I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it, man. You got it. And please call us anytime. We do have another segment tonight, just to let you know, in case you want to call again. In a few segments, we're going to do a thing called the return engagement, where anybody can call back in, because we do 5 unique callers each segment. This is our first one tonight.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But we'll be doing that, so you're more than welcome to call back then as well.
Yeah, maybe in a little bit, and definitely other nights. You know, I look forward to this. This is the first time, so I look forward to, you know, letting guys hear more from me, you know.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, man. So thank you so much, and we're really happy to have you on.
Yeah, great.
All right.
Have a good night, yes.
All right, you too. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye. And that was Jason, first-time caller calling all the way from California. He did a really well, really did a really good job, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay, my brain's like tying sentences together. Sorry about that.
Yes, he did.
What do you think, Christine?
I liked it.
Yeah, I think he did a good job. You can tell people who've been kind of going to open mics and stuff, they've been doing it for a while. You can hear the different inflections. But one thing I like about him is that you can tell he's been going, but he doesn't sound like people at every other open mic around the country.
Right, he has his own.
He has his own style, and I really like that. Speaking of his own style, I'd never thought about wearing underwear outside of my pants, but Philip has become a master of such a thing. Philip from Kentucky, how are you, sir?
Doing drugs, watching the paint dry, you know.
Oh, so the huge?
Yeah, right. Getting my money back on these X-ray vision goggles that don't let me see through women's clothing at
all.
I know.
I actually, at one point, I had X-ray glasses that I thought were gonna work, and then I realized this is when I was a kid. I realized before I even put them on that I didn't really want to see that, and it really was kind of anticlimactic to me.
Even if they did work or did not work.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, funny. I just wasted a hell of a lot of money.
I don't know if this is even funny or just bizarre or troubling, which is usually how I preface things when I tell the truth. I, as a child, I actually tried to erase the clothing on women's, you know, when women's clothing in magazines when I was.
Dude, that's brilliant, though.
Yeah, right. I was like, surely if I'm gentle enough, I can remove these clothes.
You have to touch them like it's a breeze on the summer wind.
My poor mother. What are you doing?
I'm erasing the clothes in the JCPenney's catalog. Mom, leave me alone.
Right? What boy has not fallen in? And we're in a generation that probably doesn't even know JCPenney's anymore, you know?
Oh,
the,
I know,
the dang
right?
Internet, right?
You know, but, we could go on forever on this. This is just
I know,
not the,
right?
This is not the forum. This
I
is
know.
Not...
We have a lot to talk about, sir.
I never really considered having a phone conversation about this particular subject.
Right, everybody's shaking their heads. Don't they know they're in public?
Yeah,
that's what I tell my old lady. I'm like, that's a private touch, and we're in public. That's a private touch. This is public. People
absolutely.
Just walking the other way.
So
well,
in
I will
the,
get to it.
Yeah,
then,
I was
going to
say, in the nature of publicity, being public, I'll let you have it. we'll talk after.
Right, try to recollect myself. Well, I'll be honest. I have been writing a lot of prose, which to me means, you know, attempts at stories. So poetry has become kind of foreign to me. So I've been digging out old stuff and trying to just make sure that it's not X-rated before I read it, because I know that that's not until after the return engagement. So here we go, without a gong, I hope. This one's called An Appendices of Unused Lines Gathered in Random Stanzas. An Appendices of Unused Lines Gathered in Random Stanzas. And here we go. Stare with solemn eyes. Walk on dust-stained bare feet, sent out among the beasts in search of better questions. Iams whispering paths not taken, or through uncertain arguments, wild hillocks and briars of Octung. Always listen intently to the unspoken, the gait steady as a metronome upon pages of music unwritten. Seasons will adorn your nude limbs. Luminous autumn adoration, sorrow's long amelioration, happiness but a fledgling among predators. Nights that will burn with soliloquies of fire. Days wan and dim met without a single thought. So many crops unharvested. Poems hewn across downy blue snow, ephemeral as the cloudless moon, swallowed at rosy-hued dawn. And there it is, my friends.
Wonderful, man. Wonderful work.
I appreciate that, sir.
The thing I always love, though, and I have to say this, is when you call in and you read, and you have a very specific way of reading, but it's also, it lets the words kind of sit as they are. You're not trying to over-inflect anything. You're not trying to put you know, intensity behind the words. You're letting the words do it yourself. But the thing I always love is hearing you read and then looking in the chat room and someone saying something like, it's an absolute supernova of words. I'm going, oh, my God, how does the word supernova come out? I mean, it's a compliment.
Right.
It's a compliment to your work. But it's also one of the things where I'm like, that's incredible. No one's ever called anything I've done a supernova, except that one time I accidentally burned down a McDonald's. But other than that...
You weren't supposed to say that on the air.
No, I'm kidding. I never,
oh, well,
I never quotations burned down
now
a McDonald's.
The clown will be at the door.
I'm not afraid
of clowns. You know how this translates for me, right?
What's that?
Looks like I'll be buying you a drink tonight.
Woohoo! A supernova.
I really appreciate it. You're so getting drunk tonight, sir.
I'm so...
On my ticket.
Here's the problem. I have to be up at like 5 in the morning tomorrow, and I'm just being loopy. That's what I'm doing right now.
Right, and you've got the decathlon with these decathletes, these math decathletes, or whatever the heck you're doing
it's
with
math, science, logic,
the children.
Yeah, all that stuff. It's craziness.
Do you ever tell them it's too early for sarcasm? Let me get my coffee first.
No, you know what's funny? I never tell them that because they're not really sarcastic. I actually think the kids that age suck more than we did when I was that age.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That troubles me somehow. I expect a certain amount of sarcasm with the, you know, but anyhow, well.
Yeah, they're not that good at it, man. Yeah, I'll sit there and stare out the window and go, oh, sorry, I got distracted. I was just wondering what the hell I'm doing with my life. You know, and they're just kind of, they're just so dry. They don't quite get it. Anyway, you know.
Yeah, well, cheers. I look forward to the return engagement, and thank you for having me, Michael.
Hey, thank you.
And the rest of you ladies and gentlemen, too. So, cheers.
Hey, cheers, Philip. Thank you so much.
All right.
Talk to you later. And that was Philippe, or Felipe, as he likes to refer
to
himself.
Felipe.
Felipe. I always picture there's Philip, and then Felipe is his writing alter ego, which is a man who has a small pencil mustache and has an accent, and the women all like him very much. Okay, so now we're going to head to Arizona, and we're going to visit our friend Mary. Mary, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Mary, are you there? Mary, stop posting in the chat room and come on the show. You're on the show.
Are we doing West Side Story over here?
When you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette to your last dying day. All right, Mary, I'm going to give you a count to 10. 10, 9,
da-da-da,
8,
da-da,
7,
da-da-da-da,
6, 5, four, three, 2.5, 2.25, 2, 1.75, 1.5, 1.25, 1, and... All right, Mary, we'll catch up with you next time. So, Mary, something happened. That's cool. It happens. Some people get waylaid. Yeah, that was strange. Anyway, maybe it was even an issue.
It could have been.
Okay. So at any rate, we'll work it out. I just saw in the chat room that she could hear us, but we did not hear her. So maybe there's an issue with the cell service. So we'll make it work, Mary. No worries. At any rate, let's get ready to head into the second segment. We need 5 more unique callers. Mary, I would still count you in.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that. Do you have anything? Oh, I have something I'm going to do before we go to the calls.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, did you want to?
Actually, Mary's calling. Let's try to bring her on.
Okay.
Mary, are you there?
Actually, Mary's calling. Let's try to bring her on.
Mary.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
From a very, very far away place.
It's okay. I am dancing a happy dance right now because we can hear you on the phone.
Oh, good.
Yes.
And let's all do a hug.
Do a cosmic, a dance hug.
Huggy, huggy, huggy.
Yeah, we're basically like Burning Man over hundreds of miles. Coming to the cuddle tent,
singing.
Mary.
Jeez.
You want me to start just frothing at the mouth? Come on now.
No froth at the mouth. You gotta drink some water or something. That might be a hydration issue.
Okay. I'm going to do something a little bit different. It's a new song I just wrote.
Oh, cool.
And I'm going to sing it. So we get poetry in motion. Something like that.
Sounds good.
Or you can go to the bathroom and see what kind of motions you guys can all do. All right, here we go.
I'm doing it right now, Mary. Don't worry about it.
I'm going. Through my open window, how was I supposed to know? Space and time. How did I into your open window looking for? How were you supposed to know? How did you think? Through the open window. There from the storm crushed from the body, ready to embrace in one till the moon disappeared. We took our chance to enjoy the taste of it, and we felt a joy. We enjoyed the sweet presence that we stood for. We left it there a while, reassured in each other's hopes. And by climbing and roving, we find to the open.
Now we go back to the field for those to protect. Call that thank you. And faith to comfort us, take our memories out to taste of our flight and make them good. And that's the fire.
End song.
Very, very nice. Christine, what did you think? You haven't, have you heard her perform live on the show before?
No.
This is kind of cool. It's a first
yeah.
for you. Mary, that was awesome. Thank you so much.
I'm the token singer. I usually just sing something by Dylan or something and whatever. You guys inspire me and I love you all.
Hey, well, you know what? We really appreciate you too, and thanks so much. It's you're a big part of the show, and we always miss you when you're not here.
Come on now! Don't be making me blush with the After Dark coming on.
Well, if your skin glows red enough, we might be able to see. I don't know what to say.
We'll see you next time.
Hey,
bye-bye.
We'll see you then. Thank you, Mary. And that was Mary Cullen, all the way from Arizona.
All the way
from Arizona, from a state away. Well, I mean, it depends on where you're listening.
From us.
Well, I know, but for instance, okay. You know, Barbara, who's living in Connecticut, the world's coolest state.
That's a few states away.
It's a few states away.
Okay.
I think Texas is a state of mind more than just a state.
Oh, wow.
I'm in a
Texas state of mind.
Well, you're definitely Texas. I'm not saying anything bad either. We should have been in South by Southwest, by the way. I don't know why we didn't go. We need to make that happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In Austin, Texas? It'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So I'm going to tease
yes.
the next poet for the
You're such poet a of the tease. Month.
Not really. I'm really not.
No,
really
you're
not.
Too blunt.
No, he's very...
Yeah, there was a time, but no more. I'm just like, no, I don't have time for that. Anyway, this is three clues to the identity of our March 2017 World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month.
Okay.
Clue number one, had the quality of mercy.
Okay.
Clue number two, be different. And clue number three, LLAP. And those are our three clues. If you think you know, send us a message. We'll tell you if you're right or wrong. And if you get it, and it's early on, you'll win something. Might even be a pair of my underwear. I don't know. That's not winning anything. That's losing.
Ew.
It's so much easier to have contests like that. I don't have to ever throw them away.
Can we get the new poets on, please?
Christine. He's just sitting over there schwitzing. Okay. We need five more callers. 720-240-9766.
At 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
And now your moment in poetry history.
I am just a gigolo. And everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance. Selling each romance. Oh, and they're saying, there will come a day when youth will pass away. What will they say about me when the end comes, I know? They was just the gigolos. Life goes on without me.
And that was your moment in poetry history?
So sexy. You know, I was told one time that the sexiest thing I could do was actually button up my shirt and walk out of the room. I didn't understand what she meant then, and I have to be honest, I don't understand what she means now, because I never spoke to her again. She never responded to my text messages.
Okay, we're back.
Hey, welcome back.
Dee's looking at me like, you're an idiot. You know, one thing I have to say, and I actually really do appreciate this, is one thing that I really have a hard time with in a lot of you know, art and the entertainment thing is that the word amazing and excellent is used so much that everybody's just full of crap, basically. It's just amazing. Everything. And that's where you start getting like where movies are getting worse and worse, I think, as part of it. Not worse and worse, but like when they kind of downgrade, it's because of that. One thing I like is that especially over time, when you build up a rapport with people closely over time, they'll totally, you know, you'd be like, I have a dream. I have a mission. They're like, great. You also have cheese on your shirt. Like, you know what I mean? And while we do support the bigger things, so we're not tearing each other down.
Right.
There is that thing where I could say something and you're like, oh God.
Just to bring you right back down to
bring
where,
you back down to
bring
earth.
It back down.
And that's okay. Bring it back down. Okay. So we are back in segment two. Now we only had two callers, but they're two awesome ones, and that's awesome because we're gonna have a
I wasn't well done. Say
does someone else want to say that? Because apparently the sounds I'm making with my mouth aren't working.
No, I want you to continue because that was great.
Let me try this again.
Okay.
Take two.
We only have two poets for this segment, and they're two great poets. We enjoy them very much. But this actually is awesome. That means we can get to the return engagement more quickly. And then we can end World Poetry Open Mic proper and go to After Dark. I think it'll be an earlier night for everyone, but I know for especially our listeners on the East Coast, that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
So let's embrace it. But let's first of all go to Barbara in Connecticut. Barbara, are thou there?
First of all, go to Barbara in
Connecticut. She's there.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. The weather here is crazy.
Really?
It was 62 days ago, and now today it was like down in the 30s and snowing. And
oh, that's extreme weather, huh, Barbara?
Yes, that was extreme weather. Yes, that's extreme weather for Connecticut.
Yeah, in Colorado, we're like, I remember a day it was 80, and the next day it was 20.
Hold my beer.
Well, everything is extreme now. So, you know, it's like the weather is extreme, the news is extreme, and just everything is extreme. And so I'm going to probably bring the program down with my poem.
I'm going to step back and let you do it, and we'll talk after.
Okay. The two words for the garden last week were end and completed. And so, of course, my poem is called Apocalyptic Thoughts. She knew it had to end, the constant struggle every day, ripping her up inside, her soul bleeding as she viewed the chaos beginning. And she forced herself to do daily activities while the pain of existence pressed like a hot iron on her weeping brain. The force of this challenge not stopping as she kept up appearances and strolled through her life like a vagabond traveler, unable to accept the inevitable as her country began ripping in pieces in front of her eyes. She wept at the news of yet another vandalism-destroyed sacred space and worried constantly as the storm began gathering, and she worried. Oh, she worried that she and her loved ones would be swept into the vortex of this cyclone of despair, as so many millions had been in the Teutonic land of her husband's ancestors. Forced to follow ridiculous rules to live, and then to have the floor open, and find a deep chasm formed from the intolerance and inhumanity of men, as one by one her freedoms were shredded in the shredder of biased and greedy men, eager to force their jackbooted beliefs on the innocent masses who thought they were free. She could hear the screams of the ones who were caught in the inhuman slaughter in the past, and each day they grew louder as she realized these closed-minded men would not rest until their nefarious agenda was completed. End poem.
Now, Barbara, I'm going to do a joke response to this, but I do actually really understand and feel what you wrote. I didn't know you were into 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow. That was quite an answer, Michael, really.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think she just went 50 Shades of Red.
You can't see it, but I'm bowing.
Really, that was, you know, just something. And I told everyone I wasn't happy that I had to write another political poem. I'm so over this. I'm just so over this. And each day there's more and more, and I can't. I just can't. And each day it gets more complicated. And, you know, I went through Watergate. And it's like Shades of Watergate coming back to haunt me.
50 Shades of Watergate. How did that movie not be made? A romantic, sexual deep films with the character of Richard Nixon right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
His nickname was Dick.
Who I think could actually be a deterrent to sex.
I just went 50 Shades of Green.
Don't be jealous.
Oh,
she came up with the idea.
No, she can have that idea. No, I was talking about any of the images that would possibly go through my head.
Anyway, that's been my week. Just constantly just thinking back to those times and just hoping and praying that, you know, we get our Woodward and Bernstein.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's very true. Yeah, I could see
anyway,
that.
Yeah, and Deep Throat comes. Yeah, what's that?
I poison pilled this entire thing.
Well done.
Anyway, that's what I mean.
Yep. No, Barbara, thank you so much.
You guys are so funny. And as I said to Christine when I answered, you know, for the call-in, I'm so sorry that I got her name wrong last week.
It's okay. It really is.
And everybody let me. That was the thing.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, it's one of those things where it happens. We're like, you know, let's just
call her Joanne. Or something. I don't know. And nobody told me. No, it's Christine. You know?
It's okay.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's like the Oscars when they, you know, they said the wrong name for the
Idina Menzel.
Oh, jeez.
Nobody said anything.
That's right.
If you were up there on that stage, wouldn't you have said something? I mean, you're looking at this envelope.
I think it was just a mistake that happened with the envelope. I think no one knew really what to say. So, you know, whatever. But it's just awards voted on by like 1,000 people. It's not that big of a deal.
No, really. And they had one job.
Yeah, well,
no,
yeah.
They had a lot of jobs.
No, their one job was to hand the right envelope to the person.
You sure about that?
One job. That's it. To guard those envelopes.
Who knows? Maybe the person who handed them was having to babysit the producer's pet alligator or something. They could have had two jobs.
He was just taking pictures.
Well, he thought he had a million. He was taking photos of you know, Emma Stone.
Who was?
The guy who was supposed who handed over the envelope?
Yeah.
He was doing social media as opposed to taking the envelope and putting it off to the side.
He
was doing social media stuff.
Well, whatever. Whatevs.
I mean, you know, he was starstruck. What can you say? You know?
Yeah, what
anyway,
can you say?
I'm going to get off here and call in for the repeat engagement.
Okay.
Right. Return engagement. Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you, Barbara.
Talk to you later.
And that was Barbara calling from the greatest state in Connecticut.
Wait. Whoa.
Somebody
that hurt.
Needs help
that
with geography.
Really, really hurt.
Did it?
Oh, man.
So I have to tell you.
Honey, your nose is bleeding a little bit.
So this week I met a guy who had introduced himself. He's the father of one of the students who says he's a poet.
Okay.
And every time I see him, he's dressed kind of like a rockabilly, right? A rockabilly guy. So he's got, you know, jeans on, a t-shirt. You can tell that he has, you know, kind of tattoos and things. And sunglasses. Never takes the sunglasses off.
Okay.
And his name was, he introduced himself as David Bruce. Right.
All right.
But he talks kind of like Will Ferrell in Anchorman.
Okay.
So everything he says is kind of profound. Right? It's ridiculous,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm talking to him, and you just get the feeling, this guy's a little interesting. So he took his sunglasses off today. And I'm not making fun of it, but he had the worst case of crossed eyes I've ever seen in my life. And the first thing I think is, man, Jack Bruce is so cool, he broke his brain. And I start laughing.
Oh.
And that's not his real name, by the way. I kind of flipped it around. But I can understand wearing the sunglasses all the time. But it was kind of based on his attitude before that made it funny. It's not actually the fact that, you know. Anyway, now I sound like a jerk. Let's just go to Chris in Lansing. Hopefully he can shut me up and save me. Chris, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Well, that's a good way to be.
Yes, we agree. What's been new with you?
Oh, just dealing with things.
Okay.
Like Barbara's saying, dealing gets a little bit tired. You know, there is no free speech anymore. And
yeah.
Politics is a subject best left silent.
There really has been some interesting things up kind of happening in that world in the last couple of weeks.
But it doesn't make much of a difference because people are polarized. They're polarized to the point where their ears are closed, and they're not listening, they're not thinking, they're just doing.
And yelling at each other. Yeah.
Well, they're yelling at anybody that has a mind to disagree.
Yep.
Doesn't matter right or wrong. It's just, if you disagree, you get yelled at. And too many people are just fed up and upset with it. Anyway.
I can't get away from it. No, you're right, though. I can't help but think that there's a slight divide and conquer thing going on there.
Well, of course there is. But nothing's changing. I mean,
right, right.
You know, the same type of reporting, whether good or bad or whatever, is still good or bad or whatever. Right. None of it's changed. Attitudes haven't changed.
Right.
Reporting on opinion and analysis rather than on fact.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So what do you do? You know, you go with what you know, and if you've got life experience, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, life as we live, it's kind of healing. And a lot of people they're just hurting. They're just hurting. They're afraid to say anything.
Yeah.
They're going to get hollered at. It's almost like a case of road rage, only it's opinion rage.
Opinion rage. I like that.
Yeah, but it's real.
Oh, very real. Yeah.
Anyway, but I agree with Barb on that, and you just got to deal. And you have to deal personally sometimes, and that's what I've been doing, is dealing personally. Anyway, getting back to poetry, though, poetry is a fun thing.
It is.
This particular piece at the Lansing Poetry Club this past month. They had a day where they brought a man in that's famous for doing sonnets, and we all got together, and it was a group of us there, and we listened to his presentation, and we started writing some ourselves, and after it was over, we had our own open mic and did our own normal things, and I did this one. And no, it's not a sonnet. What is experimenting regarding poetry? You know, there are so many established and historic forms and formats. Contents, contexts, contests, rhythms, challenges, tone schemes, and rhyme and rhyming, syllabic counts. People played with their food and words, likely as long as there has been capital L language. Here is just a different look and way. Multiples of thoughts and forms written within. Vertical, separate, and standalone, as vertical stanzas in parallel, a Y form, and a cross, as one, the words positioned and staggered, poem. We write it in so many styles. It's visual as well as oral. Emotion, thought, a reader's or listener's preconception, and plural conceptions, or caught perception of life and content, self and reader induced, or even not, memories. Wordplay. There are so many ways and reasons for both smiles and tears to fall. Sometimes you need a clue about where a poem comes from, and sometimes a poet might give one. But people will still argue the points and merits anyway, because they just have to know better. You see? Just like it's an animal thing, a Riddick quote for the unwary. Have you ever really walked the highlands? Dreamed the life? Dreamed of life? Wandered pastoral existence? Lived and grew up on a Pennsylvania or Michigan, Maryland, or maybe an Appalachian farm, or not. Lived on the right side of the tracks, but what is the right side of the tracks? Really listened to the trains at night. Lived a Dickens moment, or 10. Seen or seen or Mary had a little lamb. Rita had a little lamb. His soul was pure as snow, and everywhere that Rita went, he always suffered so. And then there's words are as real as we live them or dream them, curse or wish them, or know them. We've lived thousands of poems, each a breath, a pause, smile, tear, fear, wish, sigh. Walked miles and miles in life's time's shoes. Dreamt the dreams of futures and held hands with so many ghosts. I've survived my angers, tasted so many hopes, stared lost into the sun's rise, and touched the very tears of God while swallowing my own. And then there's Mary had a little lamb, and Jesus was his name, and everywhere that Mary went, so little ever changed. And then there's Mary had a little lamb, and Uncle had shepherd's pie for dinner. He ate seconds. Anger and tears and hurt leak, flow without thought from eyes as memories, just because when it's all you have, it's all you have sometimes. The end. That's experimenting.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking forward to people doing. We're getting a poet laureate selected for the Lansing area. And I'm looking forward to the person they select and seeing if I can help them do whatever they decide to do to bring life the words around here. I'm too damn old. I decided not to put in for it because I'm too old. Yeah.
What made you think that?
I can help.
All right.
But I might not have the energy to get out and do as much as this person that they're going to select should do to make it better around here. This is a college town. There's people that just put my shit in the dirt. and you laugh, but I've heard it. I mean, damn. These people are good at whoever gets selected for the position should have as much help as he can get or she can get. I'll be glad to help out when I can. But anyway, guys, wow. It's been interesting. And keep your underwear. We really don't need it.
Yeah, I know. You know, I actually had someone who sent me a message and guessed it, and I said, I'm not sending you my underwear. So that is that.
Especially when you're talking after it's dark.
Yeah, I know. That's the part that really is concerning.
That would be an attack of... Yeah, I won't even go there.
It's its own form of poetic terrorism. I mean, it really is. You know, it's just something no one wants.
Well, like I said, I wasn't going there.
All right, hey Chris, thank you so much, and we're about to do the return engagement. Hopefully you'll join us again. But if not, we understand.
Well, I've got one more for the return engagement. This one was for Valentine's Day, so it'll be sweet. Catch you then.
All right. Talk to you then. And that was Chris all the way from Lansing giving us a call. We're always really happy to have him. I think he brings so much to the show, doesn't he?
He really does.
It's really powerful stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So now is about the time that I bring up our poetic form of the month.
Yes.
For March of 2017. Are you excited that I remembered?
I think I am utterly thrilled that you actually remembered to do it.
That you actually looked at the sign directly in front of you.
Well, I wasn't going to go there.
Yeah. No, it's a thing.
But you just did it without me having to point it out. It was so
it's,
nice.
It's kind of like a. It's. I felt kind of like a little robin jumping out of the nest and flying for the first time.
Well done.
Thank
well
you.
Well done.
Thank you. It makes me very, very happy. Okay, here is the poetic form of the month, terza rima.
Say that again.
Terza rima.
Okay.
Now, here's a background. Invented by the Italian poet Dante Alighieri in the late 13th century to structure his three-part epic poem, The Divine Comedy, terza rima is composed of tercets woven into a rhyme scheme that requires the end of the word of the second line in one tercet to supply the rhyme for the first and the third lines in the following tercet. Thus, the rhyme scheme ABA, BCB, CDC, DED continues through to the final stanza or line. Dante chose to end each canto of the Divine Comedy with a single line that completes the rhyme scheme with the end word of the second line of the preceding tercet. So there's a lot more, you know, it's generally written in a iambic line and pentameter because in English specifically. But there's a lot more information here on the front page. I have linked to, if you go down to where it says World Poetry Open Mic, poet or poetic form, just click on that. It'll take you. But I'm going to read you just a very quick sample, if that's okay, JT.
Yeah, please.
All right. And let's see. This one is, let's see. I think this is the final stanzas of Ode to the West Wind. I think this is Percy Shelley. Let's take a look. O wild west wind, thou breathe of autumn's being, thou from whose unseen presence the leaves dead are driven like ghosts from an enchanter fleeing. Yellow and black and pale and hectic red, pestilence-stricken multitudes, O thou who charioted to their dark wintry bed the winged seeds where they lie cold and low, each like a corpse within its grave, until thine azure sister of the spring shall blow her clarion o'er the dreaming earth and fill, driving sweet buds like flocks to feed in air, with living hues and odorous plain and hill, wild spirit which art moving everywhere, destroyer and preserver, hear, O hear. So there we go. Poetic form, March 2017, Terza Rima. Check it out. And we encourage you to try it and write something for it and share it with us later this month.
Sweet.
All right, cool. It's time to go to the return engagement. Christine, are you ready for this?
I hope so. I'm still awake.
That means everybody who's called in, if you want to call back in, share something else, whether you haven't read anything or you want to just call and read another one, give us a call. 720-240-9766.
It's 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Quiet night, silent night, so few calls, nothing's right. No, I'm just playing around. It was really bad.
I was, hey, but at least you got it to go with that tune.
Well, I mean, it's not that hard.
Hey, you know, I couldn't do it.
I bet you could. I bet you could.
You think I can?
I know you can. I got faith in you,
all
man.
Right. All right.
I got faith in you.
No, I'm all staying out of this.
Oh, okay. Well, like, you're being really silent over there.
I am encompassing the song.
Yes, it is true. You are encompassing the song.
I encompass and I eclipse.
I encompass and I eclipse. Had you heard Johnny Depp's declaring bankruptcy?
What?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just went through a divorce. So, I mean, of course, that's going to
Well, he'll
itself.
Get his money here in just a bit.
Right, because they've got a new Pirates coming out, right?
Yep.
Well, he's already been paid for Pirates, though.
Right. And
well, he probably has back end, though. He probably has back end on it. But apparently, he spends something like $30,000 a month on wine.
Well, you know, when you got high-class taste.
And you drink it as much as Johnny Depp probably does. Hey, but I'm not judging him. I just heard about it, and I thought, man, that guy made something like almost $1 billion. And that's just what happens. Hey, whatever. Money is fleeting in general.
Yeah.
In general. And I judge no one for that. Anyway, we're here for the return engagement. It's actually, we only have four callers. What the hell, guys? What the hell? Let's go to Philip.
Okay.
I demand an explanation.
There it goes.
Hey, Philip, you there?
I am indeed.
Wonderful. You're leading us off, man. You're leading off our group of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Or I was going to say a wine bottle getting ready to knock on the Titanic as it gets ready to sail.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we might be the crew on the Hindenburg. Only time will tell.
Oh, the humanity.
I know, right? Talk about a lot of pessimism to start up the return engagement.
Man, I think I'm going to go upstairs and drink some wine myself.
Right? Actually, that's not a half bad introduction because you know me. I hardly ever write happy. I don't know if I maybe have written a couple of happy things. So that's not a half bad introduction. Give me woe, misery, and anyhow. And by the way, I think while I was listening to you guys, I heard somewhere in the background, your nose is bleeding, JT. Is this? Am I embarrassing you? Is this true, or was I?
No. That
oh,
was
no.
said. It was a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a joke.
Yeah.
Michael broke JT.
Yeah.
Yeah. I broke his brain. It happens. You know, actually, though, Phil, I have to tell you, Philip, what you mentioned about how you write poetry. I realized something the other day. This is real. That on March 1st, 20 years ago.
Okay.
My heart was broken for the first time, and it was also the first time I'd written lyrics before, but it was the first time I sat and actually put pen to paper and wrote a real poem, which I will never share with anyone. I actually think it's probably one of the best things I've ever written, but I'll never share it with anyone because I just feel like it's the right thing. But it was 20 years ago on the first that I started writing poetry, and I didn't even realize it was an anniversary until the day after, which is totally the way I do things. But,
that's interesting. Was this your first love?
I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know if I can describe it that way. No, I think it was a relationship that ended, but it was something that I don't know if it was my first love, but sometimes things just hit you at the right angle and you can't describe it afterwards, but it's a good thing it happened. Like I said, 20 years ago, it's good. It's fine. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Catullus would be in agreement with you. You know, women. You know, you either happy or really sad. You don't want the boring in between. You know,
that's the darkness. Sure. Yeah, it's the line that Daniel Day-Lewis says in Gangs of New York. You are neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm, and therefore I will spit you from my mouth.
Right. I mean, it's not very, very interesting, perhaps. But anyhow, I thank you for sharing. I'm glad that I inspired a memory from you, sir. And maybe one day you'll share it with somebody.
I'm not kind of going to be dramatic about it. Maybe one day. One day, if I'm feeling right. Nobody force me. I don't want to share it with anyone. Don't pressure me.
I just like an excuse to try to seduce you. Please, come on, Michael. Please.
You and what army?
That's not very seductive. That's more like begging. Come on, Michael. Please, share the poem. Please.
You know, I got to tell you, that's been people's tactics for a long time. Why don't you want to hang out? Michael, why don't you want to? It's because I'm bored. I just want to go do something else.
I'm busy.
Because I'm busy doing cool stuff.
I'm busy.
That's why
do,
you never
man.
Answer my phone calls.
No.
Now it makes sense.
Actually, no. The reason I never answer your phone. No. All right. Hey, Philip, take it away and save me, please.
I will happily do so. Anything to save a friend in need, right? All right. And just if you ever hear me say that anything about being adopted or having a brother who died before I was adopted and I act like it doesn't bother me, just smack me, just hit me.
Okay.
Because this poem makes it evident that some of these things do rattle around in my head.
Sure.
So that's as much preface as I need to give. Here we go.
Okay.
The title, Formative Years Feigning the Dead, circa 1973 through 1990. And here we go. Rain falls maternal along autumnal lawns and elsewhere, shyly motionless, watching from borrowed windows, homes to which I'm only an unwitnessed guest.
listen, a gentle cadence broken into thousands, soft as lullabies and lamentations. Two words never really distinguished in my private lexicon. Mother wears shadows while singing me gently asleep, but her lyrics, heard in nascency, are for someone mourned. Wombs that become portals for the dead. Doors forgotten behind mortar and renovations or incomplete bridges left on blueprint pages, unfinished as a sentence. Wonder if there's a grave somewhere chiseled with my unknown brother's dates. Bookends surrounding questions answered by the irony of a child's make-believe. An overcast day that discloses nothing new. Reciting proverbs to no one who does not belong anymore, who will grow up or need moral lessons. Clouds adrift in dreams I no longer awaken from, nor leave if I slumber. Mobiles made from halos hung above a song, resting my head as though I were another. And there it is.
That was a really open piece. I think that there's a lot of honesty there, and I think it's good to talk about the things that really bother us, you know.
I appreciate that, Michael. And of course, I feel, you know, you guys are very. I don't know. I don't want to quite say it's enabling. That's always a kind of a pejorative.
But, it's a dirty word.
But you guys, I mean, you certainly.
It's a slutty word.
Right. Whoa. You make us feel comfortable. Yeah. You enabler. You know. I think you make everyone feel comfortable, and I think that's good. I think it's important for poets to be able to share those things in an intimate setting. And poetry, at least for me, in a very general sense, no matter what meters you write in, or it is always, almost always, intimate. And I think that's important. And you have to be somewhat brave to do that. So
I agree.
I always appreciate it. Cheers to you guys. And I look forward to the After Dark segment.
All right. Fair enough, Philip. Thank you so much, buddy.
Cheers.
Cheers. And that was Philip Cohn all the way from Kentucky, home of KY Jelly, which stands for Kentucky Jelly.
What?
As both of us just looked at you like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, you know, they do have something else that's bigger than that.
Yes. The
Jack Daniels?
No, well, there's...
Isn't that in Kentucky?
I think it's Tennessee.
Is that Tennessee? I apologize, Kentucky and Tennessee.
Kentucky is going to be very upset with you.
Yeah, they're going to come after
collectively.
Me.
They do have the bathtub thing.
They do. They created the enamel bottom bathtub. That's a thing.
Okay.
Hey.
I got nothing to say because I already screwed it up.
No,
so.
There's a lot of chicken. There's a lot of jelly.
Yep.
And there's a lot of enamel bathtubs. What more do you need in a state? Which also happens to be their tagline. Kentucky, what more do you need in a state?
So you have chickens, bath to catch the, and then.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's just nicely.
Well.
It's a good time. Let's head to the coolest state in the union. Connecticut with Barbara. Barbara, are you there?
I'm here. It's like a little buzz in the phone. Do you hear it?
No, that might be a bee that's wandered into your place, though.
I don't think a bee could live in this weather.
Hey, I don't, you know, bees are pretty, bees are capable of a lot of things.
No, I think it would have to be a very hardy bee. One that had hidden maybe in the heat vent.
You know, hey, maybe. It could be a bee that is older than you would be, you know, that you would be. Maybe it survived an attack by wasps. Maybe it's a badass ninja bee.
Please don't know. I hate wasps. Well, I can live with
you
bees,
should thank the
wasps,
bee.
No. I can tell you a story about wasps after this, but I can't. I can't think of wasps.
Okay, don't think of wasps. I would hate to inflict that emotional trauma on you.
Yes, makes me emotional. This is a poem called From My Book, You'll Probably Forget Me, Living With and Without Hell, which is called Letting the Days Go By, from the title of the song by the Talking Heads. And here we go. Days go by like movie calendars, tear off and they're gone, and weeks pile up like mountains of days accumulating and disappearing as the vapors of a steaming pot of pasta. And I feel these days were gobbled up like the tender strands of tomato sauce laden spaghetti, tasty and spicy yet gone forever. And what is left is the taste of the moment with you gone. Nothing really remains as the memory to be savored. It all goes together and is digested while each day a new memory of you surfaces to fill my head. And I see the young and heady you, the tender and affectionate boy who swept into my life and loved pasta, eating it with the energy you put into every part of your days. I miss that fire and fierce determination, pointing me to where I should really be, standing there in case I needed you, yet never wanting me to see the need you had for me, for that would make you less than you wanted to be, unlike your hero, John Wayne, whose exploits you whispered into the tiny ears of our newborn child, hoping to mold her into a miniature copy of yourself, but finding that not an option, as she grew to be her own version of complete. And I loved you in spite of your foibles, maybe because of them, and I miss the days when we discussed over and over the topics never to be solved, yet you wanted to talk all the time. And I love the talking, even if sometimes it cut me. You told me the truth, and though it brought tears and pain, I knew you were right. Now my days are filled with frivolous TV and escapes, so I won't have to deal with the loss of the force of you. End poem.
Barbara, actually, that was a really cool piece. I really appreciate that one. And that's from your book. Have you read that on our show?
That's
before?
From my book, yes. It's in the section after he was gone. It was written after he passed away. And I don't remember exactly when, but just somewhere in that time period. And there are 40 poems in that particular section.
Section? Okay.
So, It's pretty full of poetry, and it's, you know, what can I say? The poems that I wrote after he passed away seem to have been the ones that captured people's imagination. Maybe because it was all so raw. But anyway, I will tell you the story of why I can't think about wasps.
I can't wait.
When we were living in Rocky Point, Long Island, we had a wasp's nest outside our house. We had a house, and there was a big wasp nest there. And so my husband, playing the macho guy, took his motorcycle helmet, put on, I don't know what he put on, two jackets, I think, and went out with, I think it was, I'm not sure, a fly swatter and bug spray to try to get down this wasp nest.
Wow.
And he sprayed it and sprayed it and sprayed it, and they wouldn't die. And then finally he swatted it, and finally it came down. But, of course, we all ran into the house when it came down.
Was this in Connecticut, Barbara?
No, this was in Long Island.
In Long Island, all right, yeah. Wow.
That was unbelievable. In his motorcycle, Matt, you know, helmet. And two jackets. Not one, but two jackets.
In two jackets, yeah, wow. That's nuts. That's all I have to say. Bees are. They're wily little bastards.
Yes.
Or wasps, I mean.
Wasps, yes. Really terrible things. Mm-hmm. So that's right. Why it makes me sad and happy at the same time. I'm getting off the air.
I understand. Okay, Barbara.
Okay.
Well, we're going to keep going. Are you going to call back during the return engagement?
No. I will. I actually wrote a poem.
Oh,
yep,
you did?
Yep. Okay. After dark, yes.
Wonderful.
I did. Okay.
Wonderful.
All right. Bye.
Talk to you then. Thank you. That was Barbara in Connecticut. Mic dropping right there at the end. Did you hear that?
Yep.
She's going to take care of that bee. All right.
Not a bee.
It's.
Oh, wait. In her place is a bee.
In her place.
Sorry.
See?
The buzz.
It's buzz.
I was getting all confused.
That's all right.
Wasps, man. Bees.
I know.
It's too early for
the world to convince. It's too early for this. Hey, by the way, I just realized something. I know it's just spring training and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know the Colorado Rockies beat Cleveland 16-7 today?
Awesome.
Now, I know it doesn't count.
Doesn't count, but.
I have not seen a score like that from the Rockies in forever.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
All right, we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's actually talk about poetry here. Let's go to Jim in the Land of Hopes and Dreams. Jim, are you there? Jim, are you there? Jim, are you there? I'm going to write this song.
Jim, are you there?
Jim, are you there? Jim, are you there?
I'm going to try and cycle this real quick.
All right, we're going to try one more time here. See if we can hear him.
Resume. What the?
Jim, are you there?
Nope, he's coming in.
Oh, he's calling
there
now.
There he is.
I don't understand. What's going on? Jim, how are you? You're live on the air.
Hey, sorry about that earlier. It's my phone's really acting up.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's okay.
We got you. So I'll give you the stage, and then we'll talk after.
Okay. This is an untitled one. Spencerian sonnet. Well, two stanzas. Spencerian sonnet. Was trying to experiment. There was no time for contemplation. The way of the world had changed, as did our fate, when we found the worm in the apple we ate. In an act of desperation, we engaged ourselves in a new vocation, employing a skill as yet not innate, sewing fig leaves to cover our naked state, and hiding from each other in humiliation. As the four-legged serpent, filled with malice and guile, looked at our predicament with a forked tongue and a smile, and seeing the results match his intent, knew his efforts had been worth his while. Twilight descending brought a measure of dread. Fear and shame gripped us for what we had done, this dark deed we committed in the light of the sun. Expecting his words would strike us dead, we cowered before him, listening to what he said. He spoke to us each, one by one, his voice expressing grief over what we had done. As he let fall judgment upon her head, oh, what mercy came with a judgment, a promise midst the wrath. He'll bruise the women's seed, will crush the serpent's head. And punctuating what he meant, clothed us in skins from two lambs on the path, showing that to cover our shame, something must die in our stead. End of poem.
Well, that's an interesting piece. Yeah, I like
that
one.
I messed up on that one line. It's been a while since I've read it, so I kind of got the flow of it wrong.
Fair enough. It seemed all right on this end, though. All right. Okay. Anyway, Jim, thanks so much, man. Are you going to be calling back during the After Dark segment?
I don't have anything. I don't think I have anything appropriate for that.
All right, fair enough.
Because
I mean,
most of my stuff usually is more PG-13 or
yeah, mine too.
NC-17 sometimes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I get that. I'm definitely kind of the same way, so I understand. But I want to say thanks for everything for the show tonight. Good work.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, Jim.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Anytime, man. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Jim calling all the way from Pennsylvania.
The land of Hershey.
The land of Quakers.
You can say chocolate. Come on.
Why do I want to be like everybody else? All right, let's go to Lansing, Michigan.
Hang on a moment. I'm trying to...
There were Skype issues.
Yeah, and I'm trying to make sure I don't hang up on Chris.
Yeah, there you go. Good
idea. I got to be kind of careful with trying to do this. Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's now try in your own time.
There we go.
All right, to Chris in Lansing. Chris, you're on again. How are you?
Doing better.
All right. Wonderful.
Anyway, I was saying a little bit earlier that this was a Valentine's poem. So it had good things to it. And of course, while I sat here waiting to come on, this little ditty just went through my mind. So I'm going to give you the little ditty, and then I'll give you a classroom note. Although both of them might be classroom notes. Who knows? So the roses were dead, and the violets were glued, and your day was sheer hell. At least the train missed you, too. Oh, anyway. For some reason... It's always Valentine's Day. Oh yeah.
It's that's a lot of my life actually you're describing right there.
Yeah, it does that, doesn't it?
Yep.
A classroom note. Fingertip kisses. And silly, sad smiles, sideways glances, mindful blushes, thoughts full of stardust squiggles, and pause full shivers and breath full sighs. My Valentine, you are ever a dream, my love, a dream. Always held so soft and lightly within. The taste of love's remembrance of starlight and magic and music and glistening eyes and tones and silly smiles and endless touches. And the feel of time's sands found and shared and treasured to lost as each flowed through outstretched fingertips, and ever after, to be missed with each silent sunset and coffee misted sunrise. And you are the seasoning of my soul, the taste of my existence, the smile of my heart. I still hear the echoes of my whispers to the diamond sparking skies. And always will. Happy Valentine's Day.
I really liked that one. What do you think, Christine?
I liked it.
Yeah?
It was a nice, even though it came after Valentine's Day, it was a nice little reminder.
But I did like the ditty.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's I enjoyed him as well. It's working in a Catholic school that goes all the way from preschool all the way up to eighth grade. There's a wide range of experiences you see. And
Oh yeah. I know them well. At one time I was authorized to give the In Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Life as we live, it's not always as we want it.
Very true.
So I know it well. You guys take care and have a great night, and I'm going to crash early.
All right, so, Chris. Well, we appreciate you,
man. If I catch you later, I'll catch you later.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you later, Chris. Thanks so much. And that was
Be safe,
Chris.
Guys.
Hey, you too. That was Chris calling all the way from Lansing, Michigan.
Michigan.
Michigan. Yes. I've said Michigan, the word Michigan a lot more than I ever thought I would since we've started doing this show. There's so many good poets from Michigan.
I couldn't understand why.
It's all the Faygo.
You think so? That's what it is?
It's all the Faygo.
Faygo remembers.
Okay.
I spent my summers in Southgate, Michigan, all growing up, so I learned all about that stuff.
Ah, very good. Mm. All right, so we're going to end World Poetry Open Mic proper now, because we're going to be heading into the After Dark segment. So we want to, basically, if you're with the family or whatever, and you don't want to hear kind of more blue note poetry, kind of erotic poetry, darker poetry, now's the time to do the cutoff. So if you are leaving us, just say thank you. Thank you for listening. It's been a great show. We'll see you next week. We'll be ready to kick it off again. So from World Poetry Open Mic proper, have a wonderful evening.